It is the summer of 1940. The skies over southern England belong to nobody without a fight. Down at Croydon and at Duxford and at Tangmere, young men are climbing into cockpits before dawn, and some of them are not climbing back out again. The Hurricanes and Spitfires of Fighter Command are holding a line that, if it breaks, changes everything that comes after. Among those Hurricanes is a machine the Royal Air Force has serial numbered R4118. She is a Mark I, built at the Hawker factory at Langley in Buckinghamshire. Fabric-covered wings, 8 Browning 303 machine guns, a Rolls-Royce Merlin engine up front doing everything it was designed to do, and then some. She belongs to 605 Squadron, Royal Auxiliary Air Force. And before the summer of 1940 is finished, R4118 will have flown 49 confirmed operational sorties over the English Channel and the south of England. 49. I'm Tail Dragger. This is The Hangar on Radio Hangar. And today we are talking about what happened to one of those Battle of Britain Hurricanes after the shooting stopped, where she went, what happened to her, and what it took to bring her home. Today's show is brought to you by AviationSoul.com, aviation challenge coins for every milestone in flight. First solo, private pilot, instrument rating all the way up. If you've earned it, they've got a coin for it. Every coin tells a story. Check them out at aviationsoul.com. Now, the Hurricane. The Hurricane gets a little less credit than it deserves, and it has always bothered me. You say Battle of Britain to most people and they picture a Spitfire. That's understandable. The Spitfire is a beautiful machine. Elliptical wings, narrow fuselage. Just one of the finest shapes ever bolted to an engine. But here is a number that sometimes surprises people. During the Battle of Britain, Hurricanes destroyed more enemy aircraft than all other British defenses combined, ground-based, sea-based, all other aircraft. Everything. The Hurricane was not as fast as the Spitfire and not as fast as the Messerschmitt Bf 109, but she was tough. She could absorb punishment that would have killed a lighter airframe. She could be repaired in a forward field by tired men working through the night with basic tools. She was the workhorse that kept Fighter Command alive long enough for the Spitfire pilots to become legends. R4118 was exactly that, a working airplane in a desperate fight. She flew intercepts over Dunkirk. She flew convoy escort. She flew the scrambles that sent young men up without enough sleep and sometimes without enough fuel. Her logbook, when someone eventually found it, showed 49 sorties, real sorties, the kind where people were shooting at you. She was damaged, she was repaired, she was damaged again. That was the rhythm of the Battle of Britain for every aircraft that survived it. And then, when the immediate crisis over Britain had passed, the Royal Air Force began shipping aircraft east. The war was expanding. Burma, India, the Far East. The RAF needed Hurricanes in other theaters, and what was sitting around in Britain got crated up and sent R. 4118 made that journey. She ended up in India, serving first with the RAF and then, after independence in 1947, transferred to the newly formed Indian Air Force. Now here's where it gets interesting, and a little heartbreaking. The Indian Air Force kept Hurricanes operational into the early 1950s, but eventually, like everything, they were declared obsolete. Newer aircraft arrived, jets. The piston-engine warbirds that had defined a generation of combat became surplus equipment. Most of them were scrapped. You have to understand the economics of the post-war world. Metal was worth money, old airframes were worth money. The practical choice, almost every time, was to break them down and move on. But sometimes, for reasons nobody can fully explain, a particular airplane just escapes the scrapper. Maybe there was not enough manpower to get to it. Maybe the logistics never worked out. Maybe someone quietly put it in the back of a facility and the paperwork got lost. Whatever the reason, R4118 did not get scrapped. She ended up at an Air Force training station in India. And then she was just sort of there, in a building. Not being talked about much, not being maintained, not being anything at all except a very old airplane, slowly settling into tropical heat and 4 decades of neglect. The Merlin engine sat, the fabric on the control surfaces and the rear fuselage, which on a Hurricane is fabric covered over a metal frame, began to deteriorate. Dust accumulated. Moisture did what moisture always does. The cockpit sat open to conditions no cockpit should ever sit open to. But the airframe, the aluminum structure, the basic bones of the machine, those held. And then, in 1997, a British engineer named Peter Vacher walked into a hangar in India and found her. Peter Vacher was not a casual aviation enthusiast. He was a serious man with a serious interest in historic aircraft, and he had been doing research for years, following threads, chasing down rumors about old airframes that might still exist somewhere in the former British Empire. He had heard there might be a Hurricane in India, one that might be more than just a hulk. What he found exceeded his expectations and complicated his life considerably for the next several years. The aircraft was there. She was in rough shape, but she was substantially complete. And more importantly, the maintenance records and logbooks that should have traveled with her had, against all probability, survived. You could see in those yellowed pages the history of R-411-8 through the Battle of Britain. The dates, the sorties, the damage reports, the repair entries signed off by ground crew whose names you will never know. This was not just an old hurricane, this was a documented, verified Battle of Britain combat veteran with a paper trail all the way back to her first. Flight Vatcher understood what he was looking at, and he understood what it would take to get her back. Negotiating with a foreign government for the purchase and export of a historic military aircraft is not a simple thing. It took time, it took patience, it took the kind of sustained effort that most people would have given up on somewhere in the middle. But Vatcher made it work. The Indian Air Force agreed to the transfer, the paperwork got done, and R-411-8 was carefully disassembled, crated, and loaded onto a ship bound for England. She arrived back in Britain in 2001. 61 years after she had last flown over the English Channel, defending the same country she had just returned to. The restoration contract went to Historic Flying Limited, based at Audley End in Essex. Historic Flying Limited had done this kind of work before. They knew what a warbird restoration at this level required, and this was going to be a serious project. I want to take a minute and talk about what a restoration like this actually involves, because I think people sometimes have a picture in their heads of someone polishing up an old airplane and calling it done. That is not what happened here. When you take on a genuine combat veteran like R-411-8, the first thing you do is a complete teardown. Every component, every fastener, every piece of structure gets examined. You're not just looking for damage from the stored years, you are looking for accumulated fatigue and stress from combat flying, for cracks in the structure that might have started in 1940 and been slowly propagating ever since. The Merlin engine that had been sitting in India for decades was not going to fly again. A replacement period, correct. Merlin had to be sourced and rebuilt. That is its own project inside the larger project. The fabric-covered sections had to be stripped back and recovered using techniques and materials that match the original construction. The rear fuselage stripped out, done properly. Not just functionally, but historically accurately. The cockpit instruments, the systems, the hydraulics that operate the undercarriage, the oxygen system, the electrical system running those 8 Brownings, all of it examined, repaired or replaced where necessary, and put back together as it would have been in 1940. The team at Historic Flying Limited spent approximately 3 years on R-411-8. That is not unusual for a restoration of this depth. What is unusual is how complete the aircraft was when they started and how precisely documented her specific history was. Most warbird restorations involve a certain amount of educated guesswork. You know the type. You have documentation for the type and you build accordingly. With R-411-8, you had serial number-specific records going back to her factory acceptance. You knew which modifications she had received and when. You knew the operational history of this exact machine, not just aircraft of her type. That matters, not just historically. It changes the decisions restorers make at every step. In 2004, the restoration was complete. R-411-8 was reassembled, inspected, signed off, and she flew. When you watch footage of that aircraft flying over England, over the same landscape those young men flew over in 1940, there is a weight to it that you do not quite get with other kinds of historic aviation. You are watching the same machine that was up there then, not a replica, not another example of the type. That machine, those rivets, that particular fuselage that went 49 times into harm's way and came back each time, the Merlin sound, that particular harmonic that nothing else quite replicates coming from an airframe that made that same sound over Croydon in August of 1940 when everything was on the line. There is something I think about with restorations like this one. Every aircraft that was scrapped after the war, everyone that rusted away in some forgotten corner of the world. The history goes with it. Not just the aircraft, but the specific reality of what that machine was. What it could do, what it sounded like, how it flew. When Peter Vatcher walked into that hangar in India in 1997, there was a piece of history that was about months or years away from being permanently lost. By the time he walked back out, that history had a chance. That is what restoration is really about, not just something impressive at an air show, though that matters too. It is about keeping something real in the world, something you can point to and say, this was actually there, this was part of it. The Hurricane earned more credit than it typically gets. R-411-8 is an example of everything that machine was and what the men who flew it accomplished. And the restoration that brought her back is one of the finest pieces of work in warbird aviation in the last 30 years. Peter Vatcher wrote the whole story down in a book called Hurricane R-411-8. And if this subject interests you at all, it is worth your time. The Hawker Hurricane Historical Society and the records maintained by Historic Flying Limited round out the source material for today. Find us at radiohangar.com. I'm Taildragger. Keep the Merlin singing.